First, living in victory requires revival, not reformation. But second, living in victory requires a faith anchored in God.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In spite of the fact that every born-again believer has been chosen for victory, many Christians are failing to experience the victorious Christian life Christ desires. Tonight, in the concluding half of this message, Living in Victory, we will hear Pastor Grant continue to list three requirements modeled in Scripture that must form an integral part of the life of faith if the chosen individual is to experience the kind of victorious life for which we have been chosen. Here again is Pastor Grant with the second part of Living in Victory.
And picking up at Judges chapter 4, verse 4. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord of Israel commanded? Go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand." And Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I'll go. But if you're not going to go with me, I'm not going to go." I just have it. Can you imagine? This is supposed to be Israel's commanding general of the forces. The commanding general. He says, "Sister, if you come, I'll go. But if you ain't going, I ain't going nowhere." So she said, "I'll surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you're taking. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Deborah was a courageous woman of faith who put most men to shame. She was the only female of the 12 judges listed in the book of Judges, and because of the major role God chose her to play, some argue that this is proof that it's okay for women to be elders and deacons in the local church. Let me make just a passing comment. This is not my message for today, but it's right here. And I know this is one of the things that's used to say it's okay for women to do whatever men do in the local church. Because here you have God making her a prophetess. He not only made her the judge, he made her the prophetess. And so individuals say, well, women can be the pastors, the elders, and the deacons. But although God has given men and women the same gifts, I want to say this because I believe sometimes in churches, if we're not careful, we'll make one of two extremes. There's some churches who believe God has given women no responsibility, no gifts, and therefore the place to keep them is in the kitchen or somewhere else. Then there's another group who say, listen, there is no distinction at all. Men and women should do everything the same way. But the Bible doesn't say that. And what I want to make it clear for those who are the extreme that feel women should be put in some a very restricted position, I want to make it clear that God has given the same gifts to men and women. Some of you might not even realize that God has given the gift of the pastor to women as well. Women can pastor, not to run the church, but the gift of pastor has a lot to do with counseling and encouraging and helping a person to mature in Christ. And women also have that gift. But listen, the same God who has given the gifts in 1 Timothy 2 and 3, he specifically says that despite their gifting, Women should not be elders and deacons in the local church. So either God is confused or he has spoken. And I want to be clear where we stand on this situation. We're going to stand where the Spirit of God, where the Word of God speaks, okay? But that's not our topic for today. I won't discuss that any further now. But if you want to hear a little bit more about that, then please look online or call us for our video, Church Governance, God's Way. But let's get back to the real meat of the matter. Judges chapter 4, Judges chapter 4, verse 3 is where I want to pick up. Judges chapter 4, verse 3. The Lord, the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Jabin, what did Jabin have? The Bible says he had 900 chariots of iron. And for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Humanly speaking, Deborah and Barak had no chance of victory. For Sisera had 900 iron chariots, the most powerful and the most feared military equipment of that generation. But I've learned that if God is on our side, we need not fear. Am I right about that? If God is on our side, we need not fear. For God alone is a majority. Amen. God alone is a majority. So write this in your notes. God can totally neutralize any opposition we may face. Here they are up against unbelievable odds. 900 iron chariots. The Israelites have not even one iron chariot. They got nothing. I never even thought of this. They don't even have a general with any confidence. Can you imagine? You have no real good equipment and your military leader is scared to death. He's hiding behind this woman's skirt. You are in big trouble. God can totally neutralize any opposition we may face. Jump over to chapter 5 because we need to remember when we look at this passage, always look at it along with chapter 5, because it's the same story as in chapter 5. In chapter 5, Deborah tells her story. This is her song in chapter 5, verse 3. And here's what she says. Hear, O Judges 5, verse 3. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praises to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured water. The mountains gushed before the Lord. This Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. The Canaanites were confident of victory, for Israel had nothing that could defend against the 900 iron chariots. But there's one thing iron chariots don't like. Who knows what it is? Mud. Iron chariots don't like mud. Sisera did not expect rain, for this was the dry season, and in that section of the Middle East, no rain was expected for months. But the rain just kept coming, and soon Sisera's 900 iron chariots were literally stuck in the mud. God had turned the enemy's greatest strength into their greatest nightmare. All the army was now trapped inside these iron chariots that were stuck in the mud. And you can imagine, since they had the iron chariot to defend them, they were not very well protected on the inside. And all the chariots were stuck in the mud. I am so glad that even the wind and the rain obey my Savior's will. Amen. Amen. So next time your back is up against the wall, just remember, write this down. Our God can make a way where there is no way. Do I have a witness in the house this morning? David was just a shepherd teenager when he faced the incredible Hulk Goliath. A man 9 foot 6 tall, believed to be invincible and feared by all. Goliath's victory seemed assured. But write this down, write this down. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. Amen. 1 Samuel 17:45, the Bible says, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. My friends, there is power in the name of the Lord. Listen, Proverbs 18, you can write that beside your notes. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is what? A strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. God can neutralize any opposition we may face. So listen, when you have challenges at work, when you have challenges in your family, don't just throw in the towel and make it seem like you're on the losing side. Just remember, if you love Jesus, you're on the victory side because you have been chosen for victory. Amen. And since you are chosen for victory, the God who chose us will give us the enabling to live in victory. No Christian should be dragging like they lost everything, because we are chosen for victory. We love the story of David and Goliath, don't we? But it's more than a story. It's another powerful reminder that we must keep our faith anchored in God. For God can neutralize any opposition we may face. I wish we had testimony time. But listen, put this in your notes. God requires that we act on our faith. Living in victory requires a faith anchored in God, and God requires that we act on our faith. I'm back at Judges chapter 4, verses 12 to 14. Judges chapter 4, verse 12 to 14. They reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people. But verse 14 says, then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. God requires that we act on our faith. You probably heard this story before. A bad drought had plagued a village for 2 or 3 years. And after trying everything else, the villagers finally decided it was time to hold a prayer meeting. So they had planned a big outdoor prayer meeting. And so everybody was succumbed to this to pray for rain. And now, you know, this little girl and her brother, they decided to attend the prayer meeting. But unlike everybody else, they came with their umbrellas. And they didn't just come with their umbrellas. They had their umbrellas wide open. The people have thought, these people are crazy. Look at somebody said to them, little girl, why did you come with your umbrella? Don't you notice it's bright outside? There's not even a sign of rain. Why do you bring your umbrella? The little girl said, I came to pray for rain. And if I'm coming to pray for rain, I'm believing that God is going to send rain. Amen. I'm believing that God is going to send rain. And I have my umbrella open because I'm expecting the rain to begin anytime now. The problem is, too many of us Christians are always praying for God to act, but we don't have faith to believe, to really believe deep down, so deep down that we act
act on our faith. God requires that we what? Act on our faith. Step out. As Moses came to the Red Sea, step out. Don't stand back. Well, Lord, you show it to me, and then as Joshua approaches the River Jordan, the Bible says when he what? When he stepped out. Would to God that he would give every believer that willingness to act on faith. Not to wait to see what God has done. Act on faith. So here we find in the story, we find Deborah says to Barak, she says, we're going to go down near to the river. And it's because they were there. You see what's going on here? When the iron chariots got stuck in the mud, Barak and his troops were ready for action because they had acted. They had acted on their faith. What is it that you need to act on? What is it that you've been praying and praying and praying, but God is sort of waiting to see, are they really serious about this? It's just a prayer. God requires that we act on our faith. And what the world, what the Christian church needs today are more Christians with the courage to act on their faith. First, living in victory requires revival, not reformation. Second, living in victory requires a faith anchored in God. But third, living in victory requires that we show up for duty. Judges chapter 5 and at verse 6. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted. The travelers walked along the byways. Village life had ceased in Israel. Until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or a spear was seen among 40,000 Israel. Israel's 40,000 soldiers, not a shield or a spear was seen. Every soldier was scared to death. Things in Israel were really bad. People were scared to walk the streets. The Bible says village life had ceased. The people stayed home behind double locked and double bolted doors with burglar bars, as I bring in my Jamaican context. Even the soldiers were scared. But this, stay with me now. I'm almost done. Despite the danger, despite the fear, and despite the hopelessness around her, Deborah showed up for duty, amen? For Deborah was confident that God responds when his people act in faith and show up for duty. Would to God that in our generation, the Church of Jesus Christ might stop running scared and that we will show up for duty, amen? But what an amazing thing God did. By her, boy, it's amazing. One woman showed up for duty. Sisters, don't let anybody think, make you believe you are not incredibly important. One sister showed up. And by the moving of God, eventually, tens of thousands of men of Israel joined the fight. And as we have already seen, despite the odds, God gave them an overwhelming victory. But sadly, despite the urgency, despite the need. Many never showed up. Jump to verse 15 of chapter 5. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Praise God, they showed up. As Issachar, so was Barak, sent into the valley under his command. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the pipings for the flocks? The divisions of Reuben have great searchings of heart. A lot of contemplation, a lot of prayer meetings, a lot of discussion. But Reuben never showed up. It's happening in the church. A lot of conventions, a lot of meetings about spreading the gospel, a lot of resolves, but no action. And today God is calling on us as his church, both those here and those who might be listening. He's saying it's time to stop making resolves. It's time to take action. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. And why did Dan remain on its ships? Asher continued at the seashore, probably at a nice Caribbean beach. Asher continued at the seashore. Try and get the concept. Your nation is in big, big trouble. You are being oppressed. The passage starts by saying that they were under harsh oppression for 20 years. You are in such trouble. But Asher continued at the seashore and stayed by its inlets. Thank God, Zebulun is a people who jeopardize their lives to the point of death. Naphtali also on the heights of the battlefield. Oh, thank God for those who showed up. Final verse 23 says, curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse its inhabitants bitterly because they did not come to the help of the Lord. Are you going to show up? Are you going to show up? We're facing another crisis. Deborah is a powerful reminder of the amazing things God will do when his people are willing to get involved with their faith anchored in him. Living in victory requires spiritual revival. It requires a faith anchored in God. But we cannot truly live in victory until we get off the bench and show up for duty. I pray that today every Christian will say, God, I am willing, by your help and with your strength, to show up for duty. And Father, I pray that by the power of the Spirit of God, as you work in our hearts, that we may say, yes, Lord, I am willing to show up for duty.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.